boy JMP. Thanks for coming to the podcast. We're doing this for the culture. Hope you guys enjoy the topics, which is generally speaking, the culture, rap, basketball, and just general mischief.
Hey, I got it working.
All right, great.
So we're just waiting for LL now?
Nah, he told me that his father hit him up with some chores, so it's just going to be us, my guy.
All right, that's all good. Just tell us when to start.
All right, we're just basically going to start from the beginning.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, guys, it's all unedited, so let's just get into it straight up. So the Warriors beat the Rockets, and the Cavs beat the Celtics. It's really more that the Warriors stomped the Rockets, and game four is tonight, and we hope to see a different Rocket team. Honestly, I thought this was going to be a sweep. A lot of people disagree with me, and they're like, "How the heck is this going to be a sweep?" Well, I think they saw how it should have been a sweep in game three.
Yeah. Well, what I really think happened was game two and game three, we kind of saw like the teams reverse roles. Like it was kind of a stomping in game two with the Rockets over the Warriors. And then game three was just a little bit more lopsided, but it was basically the same thing. Warriors just overcame the Rockets. And It's basically, I think it's going to come down to whoever can do, like, not whoever can do that more. I just think that the Warriors are just like they're gonna win because the Rockets don't have the experience, and James Harden and Chris Paul, like, I get they have other good role players like Capella and stuff, but this Warriors team isn't losing. Like, it's just not gonna lose. So I don't think that's gonna happen at all.
Yeah, a worry that most are having is that we may not have another competitive game for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, we might not.
And that definitely can happen. For the simple fact that, I mean, hey, whoever comes out the East is not going to be able to touch the Warriors.
Yeah, exactly.
Most likely is going to come out the West.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Sorry, my bad.
No, you're good.
Yeah, that's what I was saying is, like, if you're in the East, it's – like, if you're in the East and you're not, like a Cleveland or a Toronto or a Boston, you should just try to tank as hard as you can. Because, like, even if you're a top-tier team, there's absolutely no way to beat the Warriors in their current state with – everything they have now. It's like almost their entire starting lineup is an all-star. It's like
mm-hmm.
can't really touch them.
For sure. The Warriors are in a league of their own.
Yeah. But maybe next year though, with Hayward and Irving,
they can, maybe
that would be a competitive series, but I don't see the current Boston team or just LeBron alone getting it done. Like, it's just not going to happen.
So one thing I want to do is first I want to say, by the way, guys, I'm doing this with my man Quinn. I forgot I didn't even introduce you.
Oh, all good.
And first I want to cover the Warriors and Cavs game because we already covered the – excuse me, not the Warriors and Cavs game. That is in the future, hopefully, though. But the Cavs and Celtics game, and then I want to cover the top 10 best NBA players, maybe some other topics as well. But right now – Cavs and Celtics, one thing that I took away from that game, and one thing I was very infuriated by watching was the refs. The refs were completely awful in that game.
Oh, yeah. They've been horrible all playoffs, all season. Forever.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
It's been pretty – and it's not even like it's one team anymore. Like, once in a while, you'll get a couple games where it seems like it's all towards one team. I believe it was earlier in the playoffs. So I think it was in the first – I think it was, like, one of the first games. Like, I remember the first day of the playoffs, there was like four games, and I forget which two teams it was, but I remember watching. I know it wasn't the Raptors because I would have remembered, but it was some other team, and I just like I watched for one quarter, and it seemed like every single call was going one team's way. And,
yeah,
like, it just seems like that's happening more and more in games now, where teams like just last night that foul on I forget who it was it Morris? They called an offensive on him shooting a three like late in the game, like he jumped, and as he was coming down, he got tangled up with Kevin Love, like their feet got tangled up. Like, I don't understand how that's an offensive foul. Like, I hate the Celtics. Like, I'm not biased. But, like, I don't understand how it's an offensive foul at all. Like, it just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the commentators were saying that, you know, he kicked his feet out, so that should be offensive foul. But my thing, like, I don't know, man. That was just, like, a tangle, bang it up play.
Yeah.
If anything, maybe you just don't call it. But The refs are in a rough position. You're most likely going to have to call something there. People are going to be more upset that nothing was called.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Cavs, certainly one thing that they keep on showing is that it's LeBron's team. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
And if LeBron is going to bring the energy, they'll follow through with their end of the bargain. Yeah. Most of the time. And they've been doing really good in these past two games. Now, admittedly, they're home, and I feel like the true test is going to be Game 5, and Game 5 may be, like, the last game that's, like, extremely close left in the playoffs, to be honest. And yeah. That may be the last good game we get out of the playoffs because, you know, LeBron's going to be going right to the Garden. All momentum is going to be on the Cavs, though.
Yeah.
But you're going to
– I feel like whoever wins Game 5 wins the series. Like,
Probably, yeah. I want to say that, but like I never want to doubt LeBron in a game 7, because I feel like if they were to lose, then they're definitely gonna have to win. Of course, they're gonna have to win in game 6, and they'll probably pull it off. And then,
well, I think LeBron's leaving Cleveland next year. I could see him staying, but I also don't think it's. I don't think it'd be out of left field if he left, like at all.
Yeah, I mean, him leaving is the general thing that's going to happen. I would like for him to stay. But yeah. At the same time, I want him to compete for a championship every year. I just don't see how Cleveland can make that a possible thing.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, I feel like it'd be more confirmed. Like, if they lost that game 7 in the first round versus Indiana, he's gone. Like, there was
Yeah.
But I think there's – if they make it to the finals, which I think that they will. Like, my pick was the Cavs. My pick was the Cavs in 6 games. I completely underestimated the Celtics. But I don't like I feel like it's just gonna be Celtics Warriors again. But I'm pretty sure this is gonna be the last year of the LeBron on the Cavs, because this is his worst roster he's ever had, and he's still finding it a way to make to the place. And the thing about LeBron that is amazing is he's been in the league for 15 years and he just doesn't seem to slow down. Like, he's gonna be playing for another 5, maybe even like 7-8 years. Like, It's ridiculous how good he is, especially at his age. Like,
LeBron is on another level for sure.
He is.
And one thing I was saying last night is that, like, you know, honestly, I'm really annoyed by the Most Valuable Player award at this point, because I don't think James Harden should have that award.
I don't either. I think James Harden's overrated.
Yeah, I definitely do as well. I think that LeBron is clearly shown he should be, even in my opinion. He should be the most valuable player by what he did in the regular season compared to James Harden. I know James Harden had a fantastic regular season, but so did LeBron. And look at what LeBron had around him compared to what James Harden.
LeBron had no one. Like, Harden had Capella, Chris Paul, you know, and like a good team. LeBron had like no one. Like, he had no other. Kevin Love was like the closest thing to an all-star he had. Like,
yeah,
and he's still going to make finals. I think Cavaliers and Celtics both this year had great stories. They had the Cavs had basically no help and one star. Celtics had their stars get injured, and they both have an opportunity at the finals, which I think
is it's crazy.
Yeah, it just tells you like the NBA is so like the NBA is so like I feel like it's so competitive until it just gets down to playoffs, because we just know who's gonna win.
Yeah, like, LeBron. The thing is, LeBron did this all with losing, like, after his team getting traded, you had his coach, like, basically had to take leave because of health concerns.
Yeah, for like, I think that was for like 3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. You had Kevin Love get injured, and he still's consistent through all of that.
Yeah.
And just in my opinion, you got to give it to the guy.
Yeah, I do too. I still like that's how it's. It's cool to watch, but at the same time, it's like at the end, it's like, I mean, who really, like, it's the Warriors. But moving on from playoffs for next season, I think there's a lot of teams that need to make moves. And we saw like the trade offer, or not the trade offer, the offer to Kawhi Leonard, $219 million for 5 years for the Spurs. And like, what are your opinions on that?
So I think that if you're the Spurs, you have no choice. Yeah. You have to make that offer.
Yeah, unless you want to tank for a few years.
Yeah, because if you lose Kawhi, you also lose the bargaining chip of, like, basically trying to entice other players.
Yeah.
Anyone probably want to play for Popovich. Like, I mean, excuse me, they want to play for Popovich, but they also don't want to play for a losing team. Yeah, have Kawhi with Popovich.
Yeah, Popovich is one of the greatest coaches of all time. But you know, he's not a magician. He's not going to take a team with no all stars and no star power and take them to, like, you know, doesn't matter.
Honestly, if LeBron's going to lead the Cavs, my favorite team I would like him to end up on is San Antonio.
Yeah, same. I could see him in San Antonio.
Yeah, I think LeBron, Kawhi, LaMarcus Aldridge. That's a formidable team. And then the thing about the Spurs is that they make everything work. I think the thing about LeBron is that he's getting up in age, but he's still so dominant. But a lot of times he wants to coast through games, and he's not going to want to, you know, play defense all the time.
Yeah,
I think he – I'm not – the thing is, Popovich is the type of coach. I'm not sure if he'd fit that system around LeBron or make LeBron have to play his system. I'm not sure.
I don't think you're going to make LeBron play a system. Like, I don't think LeBron's going to buy into a system. He's been in the league for 15 years, and he's proven, like, hey, I want things to go my way, or I'm not going to play for your team. Like, I don't see him buying into a system. Like, I was surprised when Lowry and DeRozan bought into the system. Like, I know they're no LeBron, but they're still all-stars, and they still bought into a system. And I think a lot of people were surprised by it and ended up working in the regular season. But I just don't think LeBron, like, at his stage is going to have it any other way except for his way. Like, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, his way or the highway.
Exactly. Another team I could see him going to, though, is either Los Angeles, the Lakers, or maybe I saw someone talking about the Knicks, which I highly doubt, but that'd be cool.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I know, but that'd be so cool with him and Porzingis on the same team. That'd be amazing. But, yeah, I think it's either going to be the Lakers, maybe the 76ers, just a team like that. But
one thing before I go straight to, you know, top 10 players, I want to say is that the MVP award stands for most valuable player. And the most valuable player to the league every single year is LeBron James.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah, and I don't like Harden. He's great, yeah. But he's not LeBron. When you get to basically him and Westbrook, I don't like either of them because they call their own fouls. And and that's what I hate about NBA officiating, this mentality that you have to, like, protect your star player and make, like, every 50-50 call, or maybe just every call in general, go their way. Everyone's playing basketball. There shouldn't be any favoritism. Like, I don't care if you're LeBron James or you're a rookie or, like, you're washed up. Like, the game, like, the set of rules should be the same every single play. It's not fair to angle something. And, like, I guess the NBA can deny it, but there's even been, like, lawsuits against them. Like, I remember the Heat versus, I think it was Dallas series, like, 10 years ago or something, where I believe it was the Heat. Was it Heat or Dallas?
It was Dallas.
Yeah, it was Dallas who filed, like, a lawsuit against them and stuff.
Yeah.
It's – even if it's not quote-unquote proven, it's pretty obvious. Like, they play favorites. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
And the hard, when you get to call your own fouls, it just really tells you, like, that you should – if you're really the MVP, you don't have to do that.
So I made a post on Amino. It's my first post on Amino because I'm getting into this platform and seeing how it is and what's the hype around it. And actually, I enjoy it thus far, my first day. But I made a post basically discussing the top 10 best players in the NBA currently. And I said that for the first three, I would give my reasons, and then the rest I would do it on the podcast. But basically, if you guys didn't read the post, let me do it now. Speak it out to you. Basically, the obvious and consensus choice is LeBron James. Currently, he's leading a poor Cavs team somewhat similar to the 07 Cavs to the NBA Finals. Currently, he has had 6 40-point games in this playoff, the most since the great Allen Iverson. LeBron James is currently destroying the critics that stated he wasn't a proficient scorer aside from the paint, making us believe he can make every shot that he attempts. His game last night versus Celtics Game 4, he had a field goal percentage of 60.7%, absolute disgusting from the King. And that's, of course, my number one pick.
Yeah.
Quinn, that's your number one pick?
Yeah, LeBron's the best. Like, there's no other way around it.
So the second choice is Kevin Durant, the best all-around scorer in the NBA. A lot of people hate KD's guts because the decision to join the already layered with talent Golden State Warriors. I ever do not. Most will announce that Kevin Durant made the no-brain decision. Free rings. Yeah. Kevin Durant certainly hasn't lost through the playoffs and has been expected to carry the load most of the time. He also is carrying the hate/weight LeBron had to deal with as he made his move to Miami. Many people don't realize, but if LeBron doesn't make that move to Miami, Kevin Durant probably does not have the guts to make the move that he did. Regardless of guts and opinions, it's basically a fact. Kevin Durant has been dominant for many years and keeps on getting better.
Yeah, I agree. A couple of things, though, about the whole thing to Golden State. I don't know why everyone hates Golden State. They drafted correctly and they played their cards correctly. And
yeah.
That's basically why everyone hates them. But it's like they did what every team wants to do. So, I mean, like, I get why it's either, like, jealousy or just, like, wow, I wish my team would do that. But I don't get, like, the pure hatred for them. And KD's a traitor. It's like if you have a job at Burger King – And someone's like, do you want to come work for a huge corporation where you'll make four times as much? And then you leave Burger King and all the employees are like, dude, you're a traitor. Like, it doesn't make any – you're just going exactly. Where you're going to have a better career for yourself. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's not anything wrong.
Anyway, third choice is not so obvious. A decent amount of players could fit in this spot. Me personally, in a loaded league with so many talented guards, this spot will go to one of them. I feel Steph Curry is that guy. When Curry is fully healthy, he's the most disgusting player from behind the arc and honestly isn't too shabby going inside either. His ball handling skills along with being willing to dish the ball and not hog the spotlight is what makes him so good of a player and unique. Curry is a player that came off of two most valuable players but had no issue giving the best player/leader role to Kevin Durant, similar to how Wade gave up his role to LeBron. Curry is a one-of-a-kind player and is already regarded as the best shooter of all time. The babyface assassin only issue has been injuries that have continued to plague him. It makes me think maybe the Warriors front office or maybe Curry himself realized that if they ever want to make a long run / dynasty run, it's probably best to have another great player beside them and to imagine they added the second best player in the world.
Yeah, I agree. I Steph Curry, if he was number three, he's definitely going to be number four or five. I do agree with him being the best shooter in the world. I don't know how you get that good. His shooting's unbelievable, and it's not even like he's just a shooter. Like, he's not just a spot up shooter. I don't know his exact assist average, but we've seen him have some tremendous assist numbers, and he can drive to the hoop. We saw him when he went 7-for-7 in the third period. I'm pretty sure like four or five of those were just him beating his man and going to the hoop. And like he's a good all around player, and he's not even that bad on defense either. Like, you'd think like a small guard with that would be a little bit.
Most of those shots when he did that, it was either him making himself or Kevin Durant helping him.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes his job so much easier when you have two or three other all stars on your team. And I agree with that. I agree with Steph Curry being top three.
So number four, I had Anthony Davis, and so the reason I go with Anthony Davis is, you have to think about what Anthony Davis had to go through this season. So, Anthony Davis, they were flying. They were having a pretty decent season. They lose DeMarcus Cousins. Season looked like it was going to be over. They add Mirotić. They redesigned their offense, kind of. And Anthony Davis is still able to be fluid and seamlessly still dominant in that offense. He had a stretch where he was just 40-point game and, like, 20 rebounds a game after game after game, or at least 15, something around that line.
Yeah, it was towards the end of the season.
Yes, and people were even saying, well, can Anthony Davis maybe even make an MVP run or something like that? Yeah, and then you go into the playoffs, and you pull off an upset versus the Trailblazers.
Yeah, you sweep them.
Sweep them. And you even get a game off the champs. I feel like Anthony Davis is maybe – Anthony Davis is so weird because I don't know if to call him a center or a power forward. I guess I'm gonna go with power forward. But he's so fluid because he legit can fit in both of those spots. He's a player you definitely want in your team, and what he's definitely shown is that he is in a class of his own, especially as far as big men go. The only person that's close to him is his own teammate, which is DeMarcus Cousins. He could be moving short. He could be moving soon this off season. Man, that's a really great player. What do you think? Who you got at number four?
Number four. I agree with Anthony Davis. The only person who I'd maybe have over Anthony Davis is maybe. Kawhi when he's healthy, maybe. But that's the only person I would have over Anthony Davis in that slot. Like, some other, like, I guess contenders are going to be either, like, Harden or Giannis, but like I think Anthony's a good fit for that.
Yeah. So number five, I do have James Harden, in fact. It can't be denied that Harden is dominant. As much as I am not the biggest fan of Harden, and I find him to be the most boring player or most boring superstar to ever watch. Yeah. He gets to the paint, he gets the foul, he does a little move, and he makes the three.
Yeah.
It's literally that simple watching him, and he's the best at doing that. You can't take that away from him, and you're going to get consistent good play from him. The only reason why he's not, you know, top three, in my opinion, or, you know, not over Davis is because he doesn't have no clutch element to him.
He doesn't have clutch, and he doesn't play defense.
Yeah, exactly. He does not play defense. But,
like, we've seen plays where him, like, there. I'm pretty sure there's, like, a 15-minute compilation on YouTube, and it's just called James Harden Not Playing Defense. And it's just,
oh, yeah, I've watched that. It's entertaining.
It's pretty funny. Like, he just sits there. He doesn't do anything.
It makes people think that he does not want to pass the ball at times, or he's iffy as a passer, and they're all right to think that. But for now, you can't deny the stats, and you can't deny that he's probably going to win MVP this year, so you got to.
That's true. It's like, and James Harden, too, is like, I've noticed with him, I mean, this happens with almost every single NBA star, but he'll miss like an open layup or something, or a thing where he got fouled. He'll get mad, and he'll try to force up like another two or three shots. I've seen him do that a lot, like especially in the playoffs. I saw him do it like twice last night, or not last night, last time they played.
Yeah, and yeah, it's just, yeah.
You can't do that in playoffs, especially versus Golden State. If you want to even have a slight chance, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I want to mention about James Harden is, it was one thing. Oh, okay. I had another thing, but this is, I guess I forgot some. But one thing I want to say about James Harden, I feel like the Thunder woes went back all the way from not going over the luxury and signing James Harden to a contract. The dude should not have been trying to be cheap. Should have just signed James, and you would have had probably. We probably would be talking about the Thunder the way we talk about the Warriors, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. The only thing about that, though, is every single player who leaves Russell Westbrook gets better.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah.
Like, Serge Ibaka might be the one exception, but, like, mm-hmm. Besides that, every single person who leaves who. It's because Westbrook pads his stats. It's been proven. Like, his teammates will just give him rebounds and stuff, and he prioritizes over winning.
Yeah,
and that's why I think Russell Westbrook will never win a championship. But that's like a different topic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this remember what I want to say about James Harden. So also another thing you can't deny about James is that he's arguably been top three MVP candidate for like 3 years now. So like, come on, you gotta give him his credit when it's all said and done. All right, number six, Kyrie Irving, the assassin, maybe the most clutch player in the NBA right now. I don't want to say he's impossible to guard, but he kind of is impossible to guard. I mean, that clearly can be seen. Yeah. One thing I feel like Kyrie takes it to another level in the playoffs as well. Or it's like we notice him more in the playoffs.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving, game 7 versus the Warriors. Take Steph Curry 1-on-1. That's one of the biggest shots in NBA Finals history. But like,
yes.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving's. I like players who are clutch. Like that's my type of player. Like if you're like just your regular all star, like your Klay Thompson in the regular season, and then you're clutch in the playoffs, like that. Those are the best kinds of players. So playoffs is when it's matter. Any team, 8 seed, you can have a barely 500 record, or you can win 73 games. It doesn't really matter once you come into the playoffs. That's when it matters. So Kyrie Irving can do those things in the playoffs. He can do things that James Harden can do in the regular season, but he does them in the playoffs, which is infinitely more important. So I think that – I think Kyrie Irving deserves number six. And if he wasn't number six, I'd replace him with James Harden in number five.
Yeah, you definitely can make that argument. One of the reasons why Kyrie isn't there is because he had the injury, so we weren't able to see him in this
yeah,
place. Honestly, if we saw him in this year's playoffs, he'd probably be like top three potentially.
Yeah, the other thing is, too, is from the first couple of games, everyone was making jokes, but it kind of ended up – it kind of is true. The Celtics didn't need to beat Kyrie Irving. Like, they didn't need Kyrie Irving to beat the Cavs. They just needed Kyrie Irving off the Cavs.
Yeah, so he's getting a viable shot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. So.
Next, number 7, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I agree. I was waiting for him to come up on this list.
Giannis has the potential to be the best player in the league.
Yeah, I agree.
He's finally going to get a good coach, so it's really going to be interesting what we see from him next
year.
Yeah,
they signed Boldenheiser or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He coached the 61 Hawks team, right?
Yes. Yeah. So they got a good coach in him. He's got, honestly, a side note, I do wonder what they're going to do with Jabari Parker. I feel like they're going to trade him for something valuable. Because it was interesting. It said that Mike met with Giannis and Chris Middleton, which I just found interesting that they didn't say Jabari Parker was at the meeting, because Jabari Parker was supposed to be the it player that the Bucks were going to build their franchise around, not Giannis. Yep. And then injuries just, you know, screwed over Jabari, and now they're building around Chris Middleton and Giannis. Yeah, which, to be fair, is the right decision, but
Which is wild. Fair. I don't think Chris Middleton's on the same platform as Giannis, though.
Yeah, no, not for sure. But Chris Middleton showed that he can make them shots, especially in playoff situation. And one thing, I honestly didn't like how they played Jabari. I don't know why Jabari wasn't starting. I felt like he should have been starting. I didn't like the coach that they had. I think he was really trash.
Oh yeah, he was really. My one of my best friends at school is a huge like diehard Bucks fan. He's from Milwaukee, and he hates the coach. What was his name again? I can't even think
Kidd,
of his name.
Kidd or the other one that replaced Kidd.
He hated Jason Kidd.
Kidd was bad. I think the guy that came after Kidd was bad as well.
Yeah,
I think both of them were bad.
Kidd was bad. another thing I think about the Bucks too, they need to start starting Thon Maker. Like, that guy, he proved in the playoffs.
Thon Maker is so iffy. I've watched a lot of Bucks games. Thon Maker is iffy as hell.
Dude,
I don't want to put my money on Thon Maker ever.
Yeah, no, I definitely wouldn't either. But when he's on, dude, he's on. I love watching
him. Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, he's so, like, how he shoots is so weird, and I've never seen someone that tall, like, play like that. Like, it's so weird.
My man said he's winning two defensive player of the years. I'm still waiting for one.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting for him to at least be top three in the voting.
I know, God, dude.
Dang.
I love Thon, though. That guy's awesome. But, yeah, I think the Bucks are definitely going to be – like, if the Bucks had more money, I think they'd be a super team. Like, if they could sign, like, a Paul George or, like, a Steph Curry-type player, I think the pair him with Giannis, or any all-star to pair him with Giannis, like, dude, there you go.
Giannis and LeBron.
Y'all, Jesus Christ.
but yeah, so Giannis, I mean, Giannis led his team in every single category in stats. He also proceeded to be, I believe, the best player in the NBA inside the paint in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Most successful, so. I mean, yeah, seventh for sure. So number eight, I go Kawhi. Honestly, he should be higher, but he was injured the entire season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so it's hard to justify putting him higher in certain names. But it's kind of hard to justify not having him on the list. I guess kind of you could if you wanted to. You can have the oral argument that we didn't see him this year. But at the same time, even when we did see him, it's crazy because him being quote-unquote not at his best and bad, he was still averaging 20 points a game. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know that's not peak Kawhi. I know that's not the best Kawhi, but that is still 20 points. And you still got the presence. Player. Yeah. So I definitely want to have Kawhi, and I'm sure he'll come back better next year. And so I'm confident with the eight, and he can definitely go back as high as he wants. Like, I mean, he can definitely climb if he wants to.
Yeah. Well, the sky's the limit for Kawhi.
So next, Klay Thompson, number nine. Really disgusting. This is the third Warrior on my list. He has the most beautiful jump shot.
Bro, Klay, dude, I love Klay so much. He's so funny to watch, and he's so funny off the court, too.
Yeah.
And he's a great basketball player. He makes me laugh, like, unintentionally. Like, he'll just – so I've just seen videos of him. It's just the funniest thing. But, yeah, he's a great basketball player. Like, I remember he had a 60-point game this season, right? Or was that last season?
I'm pretty sure it was last season.
Yeah, it was last season. But, anyways, like, Klay is awesome. Like, I feel like Klay alone would be, like – the Giannis of the Bucks should he not have the rest of the All-Stars around him. Like, he's, like, that type of player. Like,
you could definitely build a team around Thompson. You just got to make sure that you install offense that can use screens really well like the Warriors do. Because Klay coming off a screen is pretty scary.
Yeah,
you just got to get him open shots. You get him open shots, But my thing is, the thing about Klay is interesting, though, is because if you did take him off the Warriors and you did try to run an offense that, you know, was just built around screen, I think you're going to have similar to, like, the Warriors, good shooters around, so they have to worry about other people shooting the ball. You can't just have the whole offense flow through Klay.
Yeah.
Because then they'll just target Klay. They'll make sure that they block that three-point line, and then Klay will have to force out.
Yeah, and again, that's what makes LeBron so amazing. It's because his teammates are they're off more than they're on.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so Klay may be a product of just being in the perfect place, the perfect position, but you can't deny that. The reason he's number nine is honestly because he's like I guess out of the big three of Kevin Durant and Curry, he's the least consistent one, but he's still just as scary.
Yeah,
he is. When he gets going. So yeah, he's definitely my number nine. Yeah. And so at number 10, I have Draymond Green. And a lot of people don't view Draymond as a top 10 player, but I know this is the fourth where I have, but the team is disgusting, so you kind of have to do that.
Yeah.
I feel like Draymond is beautiful. It's beautiful as a player. If you take Draymond off that team, I don't know if the Warriors are the same. Draymond gives that flair that the Warriors need. He is, and I explained why I have Draymond, but basically I have Draymond as the top 10 because he is such a central player to the Warriors. He is that team's Dennis Rodman, but so much better. He perfectly fits the current landscape and is a pretty nice defender for his size. As at times, he has seen decently handling centers like Anthony Davis. I think Draymond is just critiqued too much and ignored too much for people to appreciate how valuable he is to the Warriors team.
Yeah,
and he's all-star for a reason.
Yeah, and people forget that before KD came around, the quote-unquote big three was Klay, Curry, and Draymond. Like, and the other thing is, too, is Draymond is kind of like the Lance Stephenson of the Warriors. Like, he gets the team, like, no, he's like a hyped-up guy, which is very essential for, like, not essential, but, like, it's really nice for a team to have just to get a guy who will get into the game and stuff. And, like, I think before, like, Joakim Noah had, like, his career went down the pipe, he was that guy, too, and I like players like that a lot. I think Draymond's really underrated, honestly, just because he's surrounded by so many all-stars or so many – I guess superior all-stars, but he's surrounded by them, so he kind of gets overshadowed.
Yeah. So one thing I capped off the post with is most would have Westbrook in their top 10.
I would.
triple doubles for days, two seasons in a row. It certainly is impressive. But what has it resulted in? He clearly is not a team player. Every member of the Thunder ever since it's been his regime that has left, the team has gotten better. Players like Oladipo and Cantor, just to give an example. This current Thunder team led by Westbrook was expected to make a playoff run, maybe even give the Warriors a challenge, but it was all but disappointing with Westbrook at the helm. Basketball is a team sport. Westbrook is not a team player. The Thunder are stuck with a non-team player in Westbrook for a while now. They either need a coach who can step to Westbrook and make him change his ways, or just be happy with more first-round exits. Simple.
Yeah, they gotta. Yeah, the thing about Westbrook is like is a great all star, but he's never going to win a championship if he keeps playing like that. Like, he's like, I don't care how good you are, even like he's not the type of caliber player that LeBron is, and even LeBron, he averages like 10 or so assists a game, I estimate around. Like, I've seen some game rooms where he's dropped almost 20 assists. And yes, Westbrook has those games, but it's just, like, simple assists. And there's been video of him, like, he'll pass a teammate a ball, and he'll tell him to pass it, like, trying to get an assist and pad the stats. Like, that's just not what you do in basketball. That makes for, like, a very, very, like, bad team. And he's very, like, controlling, too. So whenever same thing we saw with Harden, he'll get mad, he'll go down, he'll try to force up a couple shots or take a bad shot. Or it'll be a club situation. He won't come up. It's just stuff like that repeatedly.
Yeah.
I mean, one person that I might have over the top 10 might sound biased, but DeRozan. Like,
bro, you can't have DeRozan, bro. You can't have.
Bro, DeRozan. Okay, I would say maybe DeRozan over Draymond, but like,
bro, you can't have DeRozan. My guy. He died in that playoff series. He got ejected the last game with a cheap shot. DeRozan, you can't have DeRozan. I don't even know if you can have DeRozan at top 20 at this point. I'm sorry, man.
I mean,
he doesn't show up for the playoffs. I don't know.
He doesn't show up for the playoffs.
But in the regular season, you know, he's that dude. But no, for real though, like for a minute, I'll say this: everyone was always talking about how the Raptors disappear in the playoffs, which they do, and how it's always Lowry's fault. Lowry was not even bad in the Cavs series.
Lowry. That's why I thought that they needed to trade DeRozan.
Yeah,
because not only because DeRozan was the reason I feel like they did so poorly, but also DeRozan's the only one that has value left. No one's really going to be trading for Lowry with the contract he has with his age.
Yeah, no one's going to be trading for Lowry from the contract and the age. But the only two players that I could even bear to watch in the Cavs series was Lowry and OG. OG played LeBron. Like
OG did the best you can do versus LeBron.
LeBron, he's a rookie too, and that's like made it more impressive. Like he was stellar versus LeBron. I you can't expect anything more out of him. But yeah, besides him and Lowry, that series was tough to watch.
So I heavily follow Raptors Twitter because it's such an interesting Twitter fan base.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, that and the Bulls, dude. The Bulls Twitter, they get mad. I remember last season they beat Celtics in the first two games in the playoffs. They lost game three. And we're looking through the Twitter, and everyone was like, "Blow up the team. I don't want this anymore." And then this year, every time they lost, they just put tank emojis under the tweet. It's great. Twitter's so hostile.
the Raptors Twitter was two consensus things that Casey needs to be fired, which honestly I felt like they should have.
It wasn't Casey's fault.
Yeah, I don't think it was Casey's fault. I think you either did two things: try to see if you can move DeRozan. If you can't move DeRozan, then fire Casey. I don't think they needed to fire him so quickly.
Yeah, I don't either. DeRozan, yeah, and like I said, I've seen the trade off for DeRozan for Wiggins. No, I'd rather have DeRozan.
I'd rather have DeRozan too. Wiggins, yeah. Jesus, no.
Yeah, like that's just a bad. Yeah. Like if they take that, I'm having shit. I'm explaining, but like, Jesus Christ, I'll actually kill myself. Like I'm not. That deal would be so hard. It's like, I mean, at least if we save money, and then I'd call it a successful tank.
I don't even think y'all could even pull that trade because the contract that Wiggins has, I think, is just too much.
Yeah, and the contract and the other thing that pissed me off about the Raptors is DeRozan is making – or no, Lowry's making $27 million. Serge Ibaka is making $23 million. Serge is not $23 million. Like, come on. That's a stupid contract, but I don't know.
But, yeah, another thing I saw, and I wanted to get your opinion on before we wrap it up here, is that people were just really upset, especially when the Celtics were basically looking like they're going to sweep the Cavs, and it was, 2-0. And then the, Raptors fans was, they were, this was, awful for them to watch because it was, the Raptors got swept for nothing. It's, it makes the Raptors look even worse.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I feel like the – on paper, the Raptors should have beat the Cavs, but I feel like the Cavs just have this psychological advantage over Toronto. It's insane. They just disappeared. They didn't even win one game. That's embarrassing. That's really, really bad. How do you that game one really just set the series. After we lost game one, I kind of had a feeling. I was like, we're not coming back. If we play like that, there's absolutely no way we're going to win the series because you can't. And it just sucks too, dude, because Toronto, they're the, one of the biggest basketball cities. I know no one really realizes it in America, but Jesus, dude, they take their, they love their Raptors. And you can see it every single time you watch a Raptors game at the Air Canada Center. So it just really sucks. They just disappear every single year. But it's also I feel like if we didn't face LeBron, I feel like we go to the finals. We lose to Golden State in 4 or 5, but I feel like we go to the finals if we don't run into LeBron. We proved in the regular season, and I don't think Indiana stood a chance against us. And I also think we would have beat Boston because we crushed them in the regular season almost every time. So, I don't know. It's just how the cards played out, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about I was going to wrap it up, but I got a quick question because, you follow the Raptors more heavily than I will. Yeah. But so a lot of people were kind of confused that the Raptors were so quick to fire him, considering the fact that a lot of people were like, okay, if they're so quick to fire him, then that means they're gonna pick up Coach Bud. That must be a done deal. And then Coach Bud goes to the Bucks, and now you look at who's left as a coach, and it's not to say that the Raptors don't have some decent options out there, but it was like, I don't think you can say that any of the coaches left are not better, are better than Casey. My opinion at this point with the Raptors, and I want one of these teams to take a risk, because what do you have to lose? And I think the Raptors, in my opinion, I don't want to say that the Raptors aren't at a point, like, what do you have to lose? Because this is a team that can still make it to the playoffs every year. But yeah. But the issue with that is, though, they're basically pretty similar to the Pacers. But, you know, the Pacers were kind of a little bit better. But the Pacers a couple years ago, when they have to keep facing the Heat and LeBron,
yeah,
you're good, but you're not going to get past that team. Yeah, and even if LeBron leaves the East and goes to the West, there's no way that the Raptors are getting past. I don't think there's any way that they get past the Sixers. And even if they do, there's no way they're going to get past the Celtics, especially how low the Celtics will be next year. So yeah. At this point, if you're the Raptors, and if not the Raptors, one team to at least try it out just for the culture, just so we can have a storyline of someone just picking Becky Hammon as a coach. I want someone to do it.
Yeah, no, I was going to bring up Becky Hammon. If the Bucks, my friend who's a Bucks fan wanted Becky Hammon, because the way he put it to me, he's like, the Bucks are a forever 41-41 team, at least in the current state they are now. And I want some headlines with the Bucks name in it, so why not get the first female coach? Exactly. Like, that's pretty much how we took it.
Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. How
so to bring some attraction to the team and stuff like that. Because, like, in reality, who really cares about Milwaukee? Like, you know? But what I think the Raptors need to do is, if they're going to tank, then make it very clear. And if they tank correctly for the next few years, then that's fine. Like, I'm perfectly fine with that. But if they want to do something next season, because I don't like – I'd rather have a chance in the versus Golden State, or at least get far in the finals, than be mediocre. Because mediocre gets you nowhere. What gets you somewhere is winning or losing really badly. So what I want, if we're going to take the winning route, what I want to see is hire a good coach, either Becky Hammon or bring up Jerry Stackhouse. I don't really think the coach is as important as changing up the roster. But I think if we're going to make the big move is going to be signing Paul George. Which is like a good talk and stuff, and I'd be perfectly fine with that. But the only thing about what sucks about, you know, being a team north of the border is most superstars don't want to deal. It's a cold city. Most superstars don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with learning the new money system, currency system. They don't want to deal with, you know.
It's expensive to be in Canada here.
Yeah, it is. It kind of is. If you live like outside of it, like Brampton, or Brampton's still pretty big. But if you live in like a smaller area outside of it, it's not too bad. But living in Toronto, like downtown, is very expensive, but like most people don't want to deal with that. No one really speaks French in Toronto, but Toronto's one of the most diverse cities.
Yeah, it is.
But like, speaking in which Canada has two official languages, no one really wants to learn French. It's not like it's that important. You don't have to, but it certainly helps. And it's a very different, kind of different lifestyle than America.
It's a different culture for sure.
It's a different culture. And most superstars just don't like the idea of going across the border.
All you're going to do is maybe get Drake the universe for you. That's
Yeah, exactly. Like Drake, we have Drake, and we have Tim Hortons, stuff like that. But besides that, there's no really like
speaking of Tim Hortons, did you see the woman that crapped in the Tim Hortons?
And no, I didn't. What?
Oh my god, I got to send the TV. I got to send the video to you after. All right. Anyway, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed second episode of the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed Quinn on here, and you know, hopefully we have him back for sure. It's the second podcast, so you know, do bear with me for having any issues or noise. You know, the bigger we grow, the more I can expand. But for now, just enjoy the quality. All right. Anyway, I'm out, guys. Peace.